Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4.
All right.
I said Mark chapter 4. Yeah. We've been in a series on fears in the last days, and I am actually going to end today. It's just been a short one, but it's been good.
Amen.
And I'll take those two amens, the rest of you, whatever. But anyway, it's been a good one. We've just been talking about how in these last days, even, you know, Jesus said, he said that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking after the things that are coming on the earth. So you got to listen now. If you don't get a handle on this, this could take you out. Because he said men's hearts would actually fail them for fear for all the things that are coming on the earth. And so you've got to watch that you don't get caught up. Now, I've just been at this, you know, a lot of years now. And I just know what's in the world will get in the church if you don't stop it.
Right.
It'll get in the church.
That's right.
And, you know, all the things that, all the fears, you know, and the things that are being perpetrated by the world, they'll get inside God's people if you don't put a stop to it. They'll get inside of you,
Amen.
You know, because there's a lot of, you know, and a lot of things. Let me just say this to you. If you're one of these people that you believe everything that the experts say, you're going to have a really hard time living in faith.
Yeah.
You know, listen to me. Because if you're not smart enough to know that even the experts and let me just be careful what I want to say, but even in science, so-called science, it's got politicized.
Mm-hmm.
And they have agendas. Amen.
That's right.
And so, you know, because I'm old enough now that I'm old enough to remember a lot of different things that have come down the pike, so to speak. I've told you before, if you lived, you know, in the 70s, you know, which to me is just yesterday. To you, it's probably a half a century. Okay, that was supposed to be funny. It was a half a century. All right. You're just not very good mathematicians, right? But, you know, I grew up the 60s, the 70s, and, you know, I do remember that in those days, today, you know, we hear about global warming, and now they kind of left the warming off because that's not working out for them, so it's climate change, so. If anything changes, then it's a climate problem, see? And maybe you believe in that. That help yourself. But I lived through it. I'm old enough to remember that they were telling us in the 70s about a coming ice age that we're all going to freeze over. And that never happened, so they decide, well, we'll tell them we're going to burn up. And we even had one politician that said we only had 12 years left. Now, I laugh at it. I blow it off because I know that's just baloney. I know it's not true. But yet there are a lot of people that believe that. There's a lot of people that believe that. And there's a lot of fear in the earth today. A lot of fear about, and don't misunderstand me. There's some things that could cause you to fear. There's some real things going on. But as believers, we got promises. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me now? See, we're not supposed to, like Jesus said, he talked about things that were going to come. So he said things were going to come. So I'm not downplaying that at all. And I'm not downplaying that there's not some seriousness to it. But I always remember this, that anything that gets filtered through politicians or gets filtered through the news media, even sometimes gets filtered through preachers, it gets blown up. Have you ever heard of evangelistically speaking? That means I'm not really lying, I'm just kind of stretching it. I mean, that's lying, right? One of the funniest things I ever saw in this was, have you ever heard of a Bible teacher named Joyce Meyer? She used to tell a story years ago. I don't know if she tells it any longer now. But she used to tell a story about how her husband, every time they watched a movie, he thought every actor was Henry Fonda. Every guy was Henry Fonda. And she would say, "That's not Henry Fonda, Dave. That's not Henry Fonda." She said, "We'd always have to watch all the credits just so I could prove to him that's not Henry Fonda." I don't know how many times I heard her tell that story. She was telling it one day. I was listening to her, and she was telling that story one day, and he gets up on the stage. He interrupts her. He walks up on the stage. He says, "Excuse me, I want to set the record straight. That only happened one time." He sat down, and she said, "He just doesn't understand preaching." And there's an element of that that, you know, you kind of... You ever heard of hyperbole? Where people push it to the extreme, you know, and all. But how many know, we're supposed to get our news from God's Word. Amen. We're supposed to find out from God's Word what we're to expect, not what the news media is telling me. Amen. You know, now we have a new variant of COVID that's supposedly coming and so, and you know, we're about to get to the end of the alphabet here, all right? Come on. And so listen, what I'm not denying COVID. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, to be stupid to do that. It was a real thing. People got sick. People died from it. Yes, of course. But the thing of it is, don't be in fear, be in faith.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you something here this morning. All right. We've been talking about, this is Fears in the Last Days, part three. But I've been kind of, the last one I subtitled, I'm going to subtitle this one. I'm going to talk about facing fear with faith. Fear's out there, and you're going to have to deal with it, but you got to face it with your faith. Now, let's go here to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said," that's Jesus unto them, his disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side." I mean, he just spoke the outcome of where they're going. Where are they going to go?
The other side.
Where are they going to go? He didn't say, "Let's go out in the middle of this lake and sink." Are you with me? He's already said what's going to happen. How many know? This is, Jesus is the Word. Amen? So if he said we're going to the other side, guess where we're going? I don't care how bad it looks, we're going to the other side. It may not look like we're going to the other side. It may not look like we're going to make it to the other side. But if he said we're going to the other side, guess where we're going?
The other side.
We're going to the other side. We're going to the side. You're not going to read. Listen, you're not going to read in the Jerusalem News, "Son of God drowns in boating accident. Crosses canceled. Nice try." How many know he's going to the other side? Now, if you stick with him, you're going to get there too. He said, and when they had, notice verse 36, "and when they had sent the multitude," when they had sent away the multitude. How many know sometimes you got to send away what the multitudes are saying? You got to send the multitudes away.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when our grandkids all lived around here, and there were six of them, and they would come and visit us whenever they left. It was like I told Phyllis, "We've sent the multitudes away." Hallelujah. "And when they had sent the multitude," and it was a blessing to have them, don't misunderstand me, but you know, when you don't have any kids and then you got six and you're not used to that, you're not used to it. And so when they all leave, you're like, "Hallelujah. I hope they come back," but every time they leave, the hallelujah chorus goes off, you know. Every time they come, the hallelujah chorus goes off. So there, how about that? Yeah. But when they leave, it's like, "Oh, okay, that was good while it lasted. Glad it's not permanent." Come on, grandparents, just be honest about it. You love them, but you used to live alone now. Amen. Yeah, that's why you bought that smaller house. I asked my dad one time, you know, after all of us kids were out, he bought a bright red Camaro, brand new red Camaro, bright red. I said, "Why'd you buy that now?" You know, when we were growing up, you know, had those four-door Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, Buicks or whatever. And I said, "Why'd you buy that now?" You know, he said, "Because you guys are gone." Oh, okay. So I mean, sometimes in life you got to, and I use that as humor. We love having our grandkids over. They were just with us just recently, but you know, it is different. It does change your life. Amen. And now listen to this. How many know sometimes you got to send what the multitudes are saying away? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And just get in your Bible. And they took him, verse 36, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. Now, the interesting thing here, where it says there arose a great storm of wind, the actual Greek says mega, M-E-G-A, mega storm, a mega. I mean, you know what mega means? Big, right? I mean, we live in the fast food era of mega meals. Upsize me. Hey, for a quarter, we can upsize you. Oh, it's only going to cost me a quarter to be fat. That's not bad. And there arose a great storm of wind. Notice that. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder or the stern part of the ship asleep on a pillow. So he wasn't really shaken by this, was he? He's asleep. And they awake him and send him, Master, carest thou not? That's the old King James. Don't you care that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The word great calm there is mega. There was a mega storm. He spoke. There's a mega calm. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, which mega do you want to live in? Come on. See, right out in the world, there's a mega storm going on. But I'm living in mega calm. Because I'm living in what he said, not what they say.
Amen.
Amen. He said, we're going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. Verse 40, here's what I want to get to. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? You know what? He just rebuked them, didn't he? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I want to deal with this just for a little bit because I'm going to talk about facing fear with faith. Now, I've referenced the scripture in our teaching already, but I wanted to read it this morning because I wanted you to see Jesus, you know, he's there in this ship. Now, listen now. He's in the ship with his disciples. He's already said we're going to the other side. Now, his disciples now, they're in the boat. He's asleep. They're doing the rowing. All of a sudden, the storm hits. The boat begins to fill with water. They're concerned. The boat's going to sink. He's asleep. He didn't even wake up through this whole ordeal till they woke him up. Right. Now, here's the thing. These guys, now not all of them, but some of them were commercial fishermen. They lived out on the lake. They were in a boat every day, every day of their life. They're in a boat. That's what they do. How many know they would know when a boat's in trouble? They would know. So why was Jesus upset with them? It wasn't because they were exaggerating. It wasn't because they weren't in trouble. He says why he was upset with them. Where is your faith?
Amen.
In other words, why didn't you take your faith and believe we were going to make it to the other side? Because I said we're going to the other side. Amen. See, Jesus wasn't upset with them because they oversold this thing. He was upset with them because they didn't face their fear. They didn't face it with faith. Now you may think this is strange, but actually Jesus probably expected them to do what he did. Amen. Why? Because he's given us authority. Right? Didn't he give his disciples authority? He said, I give you power and authority. He expected them to do what he did, not wake him up to do it. It's like a lady called me one time. And I didn't say it mean, but I just expressed it in the right way. I don't think I got a mean bone in my body. Well, occasionally there's one shows up, but... You know, this lady calls me and says, look, Pastor, I've been witness this woman. I about got her led to the Lord. Could you come and lead her to the Lord? I said, no. You about got her. Reel her in.
Amen.
She may not even like me. She may slip off the hook if I try. See, what was that? It was just a lack of confidence, see. And she didn't know, you got just as much authority as I do in this realm of the Spirit. Amen. You don't need me to come over and finish the job. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Right. If I do, I'm going to get credit for it. It's like I heard old preacher R.W. Schombach say one time. He said, a guy called him and said, Brother Schombach, I'm leaving this property to build a church on. He said, would you come over and walk around it and claim it? He said, yeah, I will, but if I do, I'm claiming it for myself. He said, just stay home. How many? We all got authority, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus was upset with his disciples because they had fear that they didn't face with faith. Now, you know, we're all going to have to face fear. You know, when the Bible talks about fear not, it's not like saying don't ever have feelings of fear, don't ever have to deal with fear. It's just saying face it. Face it. Amen.
Amen.
Face it. Praise God, you can face fear, amen.
Right.
And what do you face it with? You face it with your faith. What do you base your faith on? How many know you base your faith on what God has said? Well, I don't know what He said. Well, then you need to find out what He said. Mm-hmm. Amen. Right?
Right?
See, how many know? Have you ever looked in your Bible?
Yes.
Well, that's encouraging. Okay. Have you ever looked at the beginning of your, like, the Bible? You know where it starts at. You know. I don't know if mine says it or not. Let's see here. Okay, mine says the New Testament. The New Testament. Yours probably says that too. You go back here to the back, and it says the Old Testament. The Old Testament. Anybody know what Testament is? Will. What else did I hear? The word Testament is the old English word for covenant. Actually, newer translation besides the King James cleans that up and calls it covenant, new covenant, which is what it is. Now, Testament's not wrong. It's just we don't understand that word today. We don't use it today. So it's a covenant. Well, what's a covenant? It's an agreement, right? Well, who's the agreement with? Who's this agreement with? God got a covenant with Himself?
No, it's with us.
It's with us, right? Through Jesus Christ. So if we have a covenant, how many know that means we've got benefits that are in that covenant? Right? You know, somebody said will. I think you said will. Will's a good word too. How many know what a will is? That means that's what you got coming to you. Your inheritance. Well, how many know you got to find out what's in the inheritance? You know, sometimes some of your relatives die and all they leave is bills. But then occasionally one of them passes on and they leave an inheritance and there's some money there.
Amen.
Right? It belongs to you. But you have to know what belongs to you, right? If you don't know about it, you know, just like Phyllis and I, if we were to go to heaven today, there's some money to be gleaned. We're not going and you're not gleaning it. All right? But if we did go, amen. Jeremy's going to cry, and then once he finds out what's left, he's going to shout and say, well, thank God they're in heaven anyway. Praise God. I'm glad they went to heaven. Why? Because he can go buy a nice new home or something, whatever. Why? Because there's an inheritance, you know. There's an inheritance there. There's something there for him, you know. And so you understand, see, but if you don't know about it, and I told him about it, and I said, now, you know, you got this is coming, and I told him about it and everything so that he would know about it, see. If he didn't know about it, he couldn't claim it. If you don't know what the Bible says, how could you claim what the Bible says? You got to read the book, man. You got to find out what you're promised. Amen? Well, what are we promised, Pastor? Well, all kinds of things. We're promised all kinds of blessings and healing and deliverance. And help from God's word. Amen. Now, let's go over to the Old Testament. I want to look at the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, go there. Joshua, the first chapter. Thank God for God's word. Joshua chapter 1. Let's look there. Joshua, the first chapter. So Jesus was not upset with his disciples because they were, you know, they weren't in real trouble. They were in trouble. But he was upset with them because they didn't face that fear with their faith. They didn't face it. God expects us to face it. Amen. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And I always want to read one verse here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have you got it? Joshua, the Lord's talking to Joshua, and he says in verse 9, "Have not I commanded you?" I mean, this isn't a suggestion, right? Let me know what a commandment is. I mean, that is something that there's no way around it. This is the commandment. Here's what he commanded. "Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed." Dismayed means to be broken down by violence or confusion or beat down by circumstances. Don't let circumstances beat you down. He didn't say you wouldn't have them. He said, don't let them beat you down. And neither be thou dismayed. Notice this. Now, there's a reason. How many know God gives you a reason? He just doesn't tell you don't. He tells you why you don't have to. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Yeah. Hallelujah. So he tells Joshua to not be afraid. So it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Don't be afraid. Now, he gives us the reasons why. And I love this because there's really something here that I hope you get a hold of this. He said, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What's that mean? Every place I go, God's with me, and he's going to help me face whatever I have to face. Remember the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here's what we need to do. I'm going to give you five things this morning that you need to do if you're going to face fear. Number one, you need to develop a conscious awareness of God's presence. That his presence is with me wherever I go. Hallelujah. That means when I go into places of danger, God's presence is with me. His presence is with me. You know, now, you know, we could do anything, go anywhere, be any place, as long as God's with us. Mm-hmm. Amen? Right. You know, now if he didn't tell you to be there, I mean, that's a different thing. Right. A lady called this, she actually called this ministry. This guy worked for this. There's a bug up here. Anyway. Well, I'm not going to squash him. He'll be in the carpet. Kidding, Pastor Jerry. Anyway. It's not a spider, so don't freak. Anyway, back to the sermon. This guy worked as a phone counselor for this ministry. And he said a lady called me one time, and she was an older lady, and said she was crying. And he got her settled down and said, "What's wrong, ma'am?" And she said, "I just got mugged. I just got mugged." And he said, "Well, are you all right?" "Yeah, I'm fine." And he asked her what happened. She said, "Well, I went to this part of town and got mugged." And she says, "I don't understand it." She said, "I prayed Psalm 91 and I got mugged. And I'm standing on Psalm 91. He said, "Well, when she said that," he thought, "I don't know what to say to this lady, you know?" And he said, "This came out of me. Well, did you need to be there in that part of town?" She says, "Well, no, it's a bad part of town, and actually, I felt like I shouldn't go." He said, "Well, there's your answer." How many know God was with you trying to tell you not to go? Amen? I remember years ago, Phyllis and I had a plan for a vacation someplace, and the week before we were going, all that week, I just had this premonition, don't go, don't go, don't go. And the Lord really, I mean, and then I really began to really have, and I'm not a person of fear, you know, I'm not a person of fear, but I really began to really feel like this, I'd feel this fear. And I think, don't go, don't go, don't go. And, you know, I mean, I was young in the Lord, you know, faith man. Hey, devil, get behind me in Jesus' name. You're not going to ruin my vacation. I'm going. And so all the time I felt like it's not right, you know. So we went, and then we got to this place, you know, and it was kind of a rustic area out by itself, you know. We were going to stay in a log cabin and cook our own meals. And sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? I look back and think, man, how stupid can you be? What kind of vacation is this? I want a vacation. I want somebody cooking my meals and bringing them to me. You're young and dumb. You know what I'm saying? You get a little older, you think that's not a vacation. You get older, Disney World's not a vacation. You want to go as far around it as you can. Now, so anyway, we have to pay our money. We go to this place to pay for the cabin and all, and we're standing outside praying whether we should do this. Now, how many know this is just stupid? We should just like forget it, do something else. Go to Disney World. That's bad too. So, but you know, I'm a faith guy. Oh, I rebuke that. You know, we go in there and we pay and we get into this cabin, you know, and I go to the grocery store and buy the groceries to cook, you know, we're camping out. Hey, man. Now, you know, I've grown now. I used to camp out, but my idea of camping now is the Hilton. And so we're camping out, and we both feel it. It's not just me, but we both feel with it. This is weird. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be here. And it gets nighttime, and we're laying. I'm doing the man thing. I'm laying on the couch. You know, I'm there in case any predator would come. I can get off the couch and get them. So we're laying on the. I'm laying on the couch, and Phyllis reaches over me to close the curtains. And when she did that, I heard the voice of God. I'm telling you, I don't mean audible. But it might as well have been. It was so strong. It was like it was audible. I heard the voice of God say, "Are you going to have to learn the hard way?" Man, James, when I heard that, I said, "Let's get out of here." It wasn't like God couldn't have protected me. He told me not to be there. Do you understand that? His presence is with me wherever I go. His presence protects me, but His presence warns me. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't just do stupid things and say, well, God is with me. I remember when I was a kid. You know what? I don't know who the world says owns the world record in 100-yard dash, but I know who owns it. I do. I got it. I'm sure of that. I remember when I was a kid, I was a knothead. And I was a lot bolder and braver as a kid than I am as an adult. And I remember one time me and my cousin came up to this pasture, and there's this really, he's a really mean bull out there. Well, and my cousin dares me, I dare you to go out there. Well, you know what I'm saying, what are you going to do? I mean, especially if it's a double dog dare. Or, you know, the famous triple dog dare. I mean, you can't, you got to do it, you know what I'm saying. And so he dares me. And I got out there, and I mean, as soon as I stepped out there, that bull just came full force running at me. Man, I ran as fast as I could. I got across the pasture, hallelujah, because that's what he said, see if you can make it across the other side. I'm telling you, I made it with that much room to spare. He was on me. Amen. Now, I don't ever tell that testimony and say, you know, thank God, God saved me. No, the stupid little legs saved me. Like one time when I was a kid, I was cutting across, going to my aunt's house, you know, and I cut across these people's yard, and they had these dog, you know, this is country type. This was in the city, but you can be in the city, and if it's the right kind of city, you can still be country. And so this is a country city. And so they use these 55-gallon drums for their dogs, for their dog houses. Real insulated in the wintertime. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so one dog's in there, so I thought, I'm going to kick the side of that thing. I kicked that. I'm telling you, he was not pleased. He didn't ask my age. He just came after me. I know I set the world record in the 1,000-yard dash that day. Hallelujah. But why can we, like, why could Joshua not fear? Because the Bible said, the Lord said, I'm with you wherever you go. We need to develop. Listen to this. We need to develop a conscious awareness of His presence. Number two, we need to develop our faith in His love. How many know God loves us? He's out for our best. But we have to, listen, the Bible says in 1 John, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have to know it and believe it. We have to believe it, that God loves us. And, you know, there's security in love. You know, if you got a home that's full of love, there's security there. God wants us to be secure. And so we have to develop our faith in His love. That, you know, He's with us wherever we go, and He loves us, and He wants the best for us more than we want the best for ourselves.
Right.
You know, there's times I'll pray for things, and I'm specific. Or there's times I'll just, Lord, give me what's the best for me. And how many know He's always good to do that.
Right.
Now, let's go into our Bibles. Let's go over the New Testament. I want to get through all these. Come on, are you with me now? Acts chapter 16. We're going to hurry here. Acts 16. So, number one, we need to develop a conscious awareness of His presence. Number two, we need to develop faith in His love for us. Perfect love, the Bible says, does what? It casts out fear. Now, what does that mean? Well, when our faith is perfected in God's love for us, it drives fear out the door. Amen. See, I'm confident in Phyllis's love for me. I'm confident in my love for her. See, we don't have this fear like we just always have to check up on each other. We're not hiding anything from each other. We don't have to check up on each other. If I have to take a trip, she's not fearful. If she has to take a trip, I'm not fearful. Why? Because we're perfected in the love that we have for one another. We know we're not going to run around on one another. Okay? So there's this confidence there. You understand what I'm saying? See, that doesn't mean we're stupid and we don't take protections and we don't do wise, smart things. Amen. You know, it's like our vice president, not the one now, but the one before, one time said he doesn't have dinner with a woman. He doesn't have dinner engagements with another woman besides his wife. And all the media made fun of him. Well, they're all living in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. Because he's using some common sense. I don't counsel women by themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, I might stand in the aisle and talk to you, but not about deep things.
Right.
Because it's just common sense. But yet, there's this secureness in God's love that we know He wants the best for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And wherever I go, no matter whatever danger I might face, God is with me and God loves me. Hallelujah. How can it fail? Amen. How can I fail? Now, I want to show you something here. In Acts chapter 16, go with me to verse 23. And this is it's Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they put them in jail, you know, for the gospel's sake. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, put them in the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. And at midnight, now these guys are in prison, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. That tells me they weren't in fear. What happened? Well, how many know, if you get locked into prison in these days especially, you got something to be afraid of. You may not come out alive. But they decided to face their fear by singing and praying. See, you have to do some study. You study prisons in those days, and they're a lot different than the prisons around here. I was in a foreign country one time, and I remember the first time I ever went to this country, I remember one of the first things the missionary told me, one of the first things he told me when we got there, he wanted to make sure we're paying attention. He said, there's two things you need to know. He said, there's two places you don't want to be here. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. Where's that? He said, you don't want to be in one of our hospitals. Okay? I'm not going to do anything stupid. And he said, you don't want to be in one of our prisons. Yes, sir. You know, eventually I did go to one of their prisons, but I went in to preach. When I went to that prison, I understood what he said. You don't want to be there. You just do not want to be there. I mean, the prisoners, some of them got guns. In the prison. So why don't they use them on the guards? Because they would mow them down. They use them on one another. So, you know, I realize that this place where Paul and Silas is not a good place. Are y'all with me now?
Amen.
See, but at midnight, instead of fearing and worrying, they prayed and sang praises. Here's the third thing. You need to pray and praise instead of worry and fear. You need to pray and praise instead of worry and fear. Now, verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, meaning all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Hey, come on, are you with me this morning? Amen. See, if you praise and if you sing and praise and pray, suddenly's come. Amen. Foundations are shaken. Amen. Doors are opened and everyone gets their bands loosed. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's go to one last scripture. And that's found in 2 Timothy. We're just talking about facing fear with faith today. Facing fear with faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You got it? All right, verse number 7. Paul, talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, for God has not given us, the church, us believers, the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I want you to notice Paul calls fear a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. See, that's what the world, listen now, that's what the world is pushing, the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. You know, afraid to do this and afraid to do that, afraid to do this. Listen, man, if you're in the will of God, that's the safest place to be. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard a guy say this, a minister. He said when he was young, he went on a mission trip. I forget what country he said it was to, but he said, when we got there, he said civil war erupted while we were there. He said, we're in this compound. And he said, all of a sudden we're hearing shots and bullets are they start coming into the compound because outside on the street, they got a civil war going on and they're fighting. So they're just shooting. So bullets are going everywhere. Now, they're not specifically shooting at these missionaries, but they're just shooting and bullets are going everywhere. And he said, you know, if you're green, that'll freak you out. Amen. And so he said this, he said, the guy that was the head of the, you know, of the trip, he said he called them all together. Because, you know, some of these were green. They'd not been on the field before and didn't realize there's, you know, stuff like that goes on in other countries. And, you know, you just got to trust God. And so he said they called them all in there. And he said, I want to ask you, all of you. He said, are you supposed to be here? Did God send you here? And they said, yeah. He said, then you're in the safest place you can possibly be. If you're in the will of God, I don't care what's going on the externals. You're in the safest place you could possibly be. Jesus' disciples, come on now, in that boat with all that storm going on, being with Jesus, going the other side, because that's where he said he wanted to go, they're in the safest place they could be. They stayed back on the shore. They could have died. Something could have got them, killed them. But they're in the safest place they can be. In the will of God, you're in the safest place you can possibly be. Amen. I mean, listen, man. You say, well, what if I die? Well, wouldn't you rather die in the will of God than out of the will of God? Amen. You're in the safest place you can be. Listen, here's number four, is stop listening to the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Stop listening to the spirit of fear. What do you mean? Stop listening to that voice trying to get you into fear, that's the spirit of fear. Don't listen to that. Amen. God's given us the spirit of faith. Stop yielding to the wrong spirit. It's a wrong spirit. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your life. The Bible, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. How many of the devil is fear? Fear is the force of the devil. So submit yourself, resist fear, and it'll flee from you. Number five is this. You need to make sure your hearing of the word of God is adequate. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how many know, the only cure, or let me say it this way, the greatest cure for faith or for fear is to find out what God said. And believe it. It's the greatest cure. What do you mean? You mean for everything in life? You know, God's got a promise for us for everything in life. He's got something that covers everything, see. He's got He's got promises that cover your physical health, right? That doesn't mean we don't face sickness, but we got a promise from God that we can stand on. He's got a promise for your divine protection. He's got promises, see? So the greatest defense is keep yourself filled with the promises of God. Keep yourself filled with the Word of God. Find out what God says. See, people are afraid. You know, people are, I've met people that are terrified of flying. Terrified of flying. You ever met anybody like that? Sure. We know one particular person. They finally, I won't name them. I'll leave them unnamed. They can tell their own story. But they're in their 60s now. And just this year flew for the first time in their life. Because they were afraid of flying. And but did you know the truth? Now listen now. The truth of the matter is you're safer up there than you are on our freeways. Far safer. There's far less people die in plane crashes than do in car wrecks. You never meet one other up there as close as you do down here. Never. I mean, you are in trouble. If you get that close, you will be seeing some authorities. So, but see, it's a lack of knowledge. When you learn how, when you study, which I've done a lot of study about flight and so forth. When you do that and you learn how it works, you understand that it's really safe. How come I'm feeling such resistance to this? Really, it is safe. It's safer than getting in your vehicle and going home. And we're all safe because we're kept by the blood. But you understand that the natural and the natural, it's safer to be up there. Amen. Because, you know, it's just like one time I was taking some flying lessons and I was kind of tensed up. And the flight instructor, he thought I'm tensed up because I'm afraid we're going to crash, which wasn't it at all. I was tensed up by trying to remember everything I'm supposed to remember. It was new. You know what I'm saying? It's like, got to remember all this stuff. And it's like, it was just like overwhelming at first, you know, till you get a little bit of a handle on it. So we're just going along. And he says, look, I want to show you something. He shuts the motor off. Now, if I was afraid of that, I'd have clubbed the guy right then. Right? It's like a guy I heard. He said, I was taking flight lessons one time. He said the motor actually went out on the plane. It's a single engine. The motor quit. It died. It went out. It wouldn't restart. He said the flight instructor is an old guy. He's over there in the co-pilot seat. And he said, I look at him and said, he said, I got fear. You know, I'm like, what are we going to do? He said, he hit me with a newspaper. He said, we're going to land. That's what we're going to do. We're going to land. So my point in saying that is, when you don't know, see, a lot of people don't know. The guy shut the motors off, and I'll finish the story. He said, I just wanted you to see, we're not falling out of the sky. Well, I already knew that. That's not what's got me tensed up. I'm not concerned. Listen, man, I don't know whether you're saved or not, but I'm saved. I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking, I'm saved. If this plane does crash, I'm going to heaven. I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to heaven. You're the one who needs to be afraid the motor goes out. But, you know, and we learned, you know, hey, if the motor goes out, it's not fun. It's not the nicest thing that's going to happen to you today. But you don't have to crash the thing. You can still land the thing. Just find a place to land it. It'll still land. See, the more you know God's Bible, the more you know of the Word, the more you put in you, the less fear you have of what the world's pushing, because you already got the answer. Hallelujah. So what do we got to do? Well, listen, we're going to have fears in the end times. They're just going to be a part of this last days. I'd like to tell you there's not going to be any more, but they're going to get worse. But we got to fill ourselves with God's Word. We got to stand on His Word. We got to have ourselves full of faith and face it and don't allow it to enter into our life. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.